Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Welcome to Phase Zero bonus episode number 5. Welcome to the show. I'm here, Brandon Davis, Jim Viscardi, Aaron Puri, and Jenna Anderson. We're talking about the Marvel Chaos. Jim, go ahead, start us off.
Oh my God. I loved it. Look, I don't know what I was expecting for Moon Knight. I wanted a full reveal, right? Like, I wanted that look at him in the costume. I'll tell you what, though, getting those shots of him from behind, getting the fist, him against the bus. There's a gorgeous shot of him just like walking in the museum, and you see the three different versions, personalities of Moon Knight, just all in there. You hear the accents, all of it. Oh, that plus everything else we got. I mean, come on, man. X-Men 97, let's go.
It's just chaos.
Sorry. I just had to just get all of that out there.
It was a lot. It was a lot. I'm trying to gather my thoughts here. As close to as it was over as possible. And here we are. X-Men 97, She-Hulk logos and first look, Spider-Man freshman year, I Am Groot logo, Ironheart logo, Agatha, House of Harkness is announced, Echo is announced, Marvel Zombies animated series is announced, Secret Invasion got a new logo, first look at Moon Knight, first look at She-Hulk, first look at Ms. Marvel, first look at Secret Invasion, X-Men 97, I think that's everything. I'm sure I missed something, but it's been quite a morning. Overall, doesn't feel as exceptional as Investor Day, but I'm not here to criticize after I was just given a bunch of gifts. Jim, stop. It wasn't. It's not even close. It doesn't compare. There was no live stream. There was a clunky Disney Plus Twitter thread and then a special that nobody knew how to find. It was all very cool. I'm very excited about it, but cue up the Kevin Feige meme. Is it not enough, Brandon? Is it never enough? Because I am I'm pretty satisfied. I'm not going to lie, but I was like hoping that there would be some more live action stuff that we knew nothing about.
Trying to find that link was literally the most stressful, like, 2 minutes of my life, just trying to be like, where is it? Give it to me. I will say these dumps that they do, I get they're successful and I get that. Give us the stream, give us the live stream. Even then, or like, that can we get so much in that like that happened the first time in the Investor Day, so much in that 10 minutes. It's just like, and I guess you need that. So like to just feel a bit more like, but for those listening, I'm throwing my hands at my face.
I do agree though, of like between last year's Investor Day, which like at the time leading up to it, it didn't feel like it was going to be an event, but everybody kind of realized it was going to be in real time, like witnessed everything that they dropped. But then even like DC Fandom and Ta-Dum and all of these other virtual conventions, it's like I not having a live stream for this felt so chaotic of just 2 hours of like, all right, refresh the tweet. All right, Patrick Dempsey's tagged in another 10 tweets that he has nothing to do with. Like
his social media team is like, please.
I know. I will say whoever ran that thread for Disney Plus, they deserve like a stiff drink and a week-long vacation because like I can only imagine the PR nightmare of just trying to get all that tweet out in time. So
and having to deal with me just annoyingly respond to every tweet and say, show us the trailers. I knew what I was doing.
Yep.
But sorry, go ahead, Jenna.
No, it's just like I'm happy with the content that we got. Like all of this morning was worth it for those 4 minutes of content at the end of the Marvel special. I do wish this would have been presented in a way that it all could have collectively felt like an experience. But in terms of what we got, I am over the moon. I am so happy. Like, we'll dive into it when we talk about specific stuff, but I overall, it's chaos, but it's fun chaos.
Yeah, I think the Twitter stream kind of like made it feel less eventized and communal. But ultimately, if you look at the, like, I think my initial reaction was like, I'm not overwhelmed. I'm just kind of whelmed. but now that I think back at everything we just got and I've read everything out loud, it is kind of like, wow, they did actually do quite a bit and still seemingly saved quite a bit for whenever their next event is. Hopefully San Diego Comic-Con 2022 or D23. Aaron, we haven't given you a chance yet, Aaron. Go ahead and share your thoughts here.
I'm just still really confused by most of the stuff. And I get why you did it, because I come from social. And you know what's better than having one metric of just view time for this live stream? Having retweets, having likes, having all the impressions on people. Like, so I get that. But it was very hard to follow. I was very confused in our group chat for work, looking at Jim just dropping in title card, icon, thinking, I'm like, where are these coming from? Where are they coming from? Where are they coming from? Where is it? Why? Why? So I would agree that I would like it to be a little bit more of a live stream event if we could next time, pretty please. But as Jim pointed out, they did this with all 80 gajillion titles that came out with Disney Plus when Disney Plus launched, and they're not going to stop. So we're just yelling at the wall.
Yeah. I mean, Investor Day and DC Fandom seem to have set the standard for how to come out with a whole bunch of announcements. Like, ultimately, this is just like a big press event where you just want to reach as many people and get as much reach on every single announcement you can. And Twitter probably, I guess, whether we like it or not, like whether it's communal or exciting or not, it's still the easiest way to reach everybody. And then I'm sure later today we'll get a whole bunch of emails, the press will, with all the details and probably some more stuff. But yeah, it does, I guess. The purpose here for Disney is to just get all this news out there, not make you have fun with it. And I think it wasn't a bad day. It just was, we just have this exceptional expectation of a fandom or an investor day. And that wasn't it. This seemingly was never going to be that. But all right, I don't know where to start.
Let's go through the stuff.
Yes.
We'll just start from the top.
X-Men 97 was the X-Men.
Thank you for singing it before I could. I am so happy that this is happening. Also, can I just say, I'm sad that Raphael Bob Waksberg's tweet of the real lyrics to the X-Men theme, he deleted his Twitter account, so I couldn't find that tweet, which made me really sad because I sing his real lyrics to that song all the time. I love X-Men, the animated series. It is exceptional. I know there were rumors for years of like, we're going to do some sort of continuation or something. The fact that it is actually happening is so surreal. Like, next to the She-Hulk stuff and the actual like live action footage we saw, this is the announcement I got the most excited about, because it is just going to be so cool to have this come back. And knowing how they could introduce the X-Men, bringing back the animated series and kind of like reintroducing it to general audiences feels very smart, because I am kind of like, I feel like they could use a lot of elements from the animated series in how they bring them into the MCU. So it all just feels perfect.
That, and like, that animated series is what made a lot of folks our age like diehard Marvel fans. And so if this is a way to get new fans into Marvel and be that same gateway, then I'm all for it. I mean, I don't get me wrong. Look, looking back on the animated series, like having watched a few episodes here and there, it shows not great, but like, it's not made for me, 30-year-old man. It was made for 10-year-old me. And like, I ate that up like 100%. And so I'll be curious to see if they just, it picks up where the show left off. It'll be interesting to see if they just go down the road of X-Men events that happened over that time, or if we'll get some new stuff kind of sprinkled in, because there's a lot of stuff that they're going to have to cover and to get to current day X-Men stuff. And so I want, like, that'll be the very interesting thing. And I'm sure we'll get more of that. There's a great story on Marvel.com where I think they put up like an interview with some folks. I haven't been able to go through it yet. I saw it go through my feed, but like, I love it.
I'm not really fired up by the animation stuff yet. What If is probably my least favorite Marvel thing we've gotten this year. It was fine. I don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. And I think going forward, I think that, you know, X-Men 97 is certainly the most exciting animated thing of it all. But then you have Spider-Man Freshman Year, which I'm like, hold on. You guys slapped the Marvel Studios logo up there. Are you telling me this is going to be like MCU canon? Because I don't know if I'm really needing like animated continuations of stories. Is it going to be Tom Holland?
I don't think it's going to be in continuity. I think between X-Men 97 and the Spider-Man show, this is Disney putting out content for not necessarily the junior crew, but for like your preteen, tween ages to help get them in on stuff. But
I don't know, man. They already have a lot of Spider-Man shows. This one feels like they're kind of playing it might be continuity thing. That logo, mm-hmm. Marvel Studios.
It may be.
Said, the X-Men 97 logo has the Marvel Studios logo above it. So, you know, I don't know that is like an indication. Right. We also got What If Season 2 confirmed. Cool. You know, I mean, it's content to watch. I'm hopeful that Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness will kind of make What If a bit more continuity wise important. Valuable. Otherwise it is just kind of fun one-off stories that some people love it. I enjoyed the show, but it was just kind of like, well, I didn't have like a genuine excitement. And then the other show, this is probably actually to me the most exciting announcement. Actually, X-Men 97 is very cool, but Marvel Zombies, depending on how they do it, bring in Kirkman for that. So, yeah. What do you guys? Anybody want to talk more about the animated announcements?
I am dreading animated Uncle Ben dying, because if this really is a prequel, I feel like that's inevitable. So,
yeah, Marvel Zombies is going to be an interesting one. Those who have read the books, that stuff is like, it is gruesome stuff. And like, they touched on it a little bit in What If, but those books are like, that's straight up horror. And
I mean, the sequence where Spider-Man is like conscious, but eating his family.
Yeah.
Like get that kind of terror and horror. I don't know if they'll, I don't know. They've surprised us already with some of the stuff they've been willing to tackle in these movies. They just gave us a sex scene in Eternals. So why not just watch Peter and tell Aunt May and Mary Jane to go hide in the bathroom, because he's going to eat them.
I'm curious to what animation styles they're going to go with this too, mm-hmm. because they could really kind of open the door a bit. I hope they don't just stay. Like, I hope that What If style doesn't become like Marvel Animation House style. Like, I hope they explore a bit more. That's the big question I have coming out of that. But
I Am Groot is not animated, Harold Jenderson. That is being filmed during Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, right?
I'm not 100% sure.
You mean the holiday?
The holiday special is being filmed concurrently, but they've never definitively said with I Am Groot. Yeah.
It is animated. Somebody in the comments says it is animated. I mean,
either way, Groot is going to be animated, so it's just a matter of like, is it CGI? Is it 2D? Like, we don't really know at this point.
I'm gonna do a quick fact check.
Confirm Spider-Man Freshman Year is an animated series that follows Peter Parker on his way to becoming Spider-Man in the MCU. So this is a animated prequel to Homecoming.
Again, Uncle Ben is gonna die.
Yep, that's it. We're seeing it. Yep. Congratulations, everyone. If you wanted to know how Uncle Ben died, you're going to see it in all its animated glory.
Wow. That actually makes that a lot more interesting.
Yeah.
I love being hurt. So that's going to be, I'm curious if they're going to get Tom Holland to voice that. That's obviously something we all want, I think. But wow, that's a pretty nice swing they're taking there. I'll take it.
Bumps it up the list for sure. Mm-hmm.
I just had a feeling. I saw that logo. This one's MCU canon. All right. Anything else we want to talk about on the animated front? Anybody?
Nope.
It's going to be, you know what? Spider-Man Freshman Year, telling a prequel to Peter Parker's freshman year of high school might be, unless Tom Holland is telling the truth and like he's actually done, but I think he's a liar, running in tandem with him being a freshman in college, right?
I mean,
in live action. I don't know. I'm just trying to find stuff to talk about. All right.
I think you're grasping at straws there a little bit, buddy.
Yeah.
Live action shows that were announced, but we already kind of heard about Echo. That's going to be, I don't know if I can say that actually. Agatha House of Harkness spinning out of WandaVision. That's cool. That's very exciting.
I think the name is great. I really love love the name House of Harkness. Like that's that I think is going to be fun. Look, and I like this. Like this is very clearly a show that came out of the success of WandaVision. Like I don't think they were like looking on their big MCU board and said, you know what we need? An Agatha Harkness show. That's what we need. And so it'll be interesting to see like where and how they make this fit. And like if like the plans for Agatha, you know, like if she becomes a bigger character in the show, like there, like we've got your Marvel crazy bro got saying House of M. Like, look, we got a house, you know, House Harkness, House of M kind of thing going on there. I could see that maybe. Return of Ralph Boner coming coming next year. Like this is gonna be great.
Yeah, I'm curious to see like how it expands out like the mystic and like kind of spoopy corner of the MCU, because I feel like this will be like a launching pad to have whoever is in her side cast and stuff like that build on to that. But then I'm just hoping that she crosses paths with the Fantastic Four. Like that has to happen eventually.
I want to see her bite a kid. Bite Franklin Richards.
Yep.
Take a nibble.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, so that's all of the kind of announcements. There was a whole bunch of logos. And then there's footage. So I think we spent enough time not talking about the footage that everyone wants to talk about.
Yep.
So I think we could just transition into that. Let's talk about the footage. First of all, Moon Knight looks like the greatest thing ever made.
I am shocked that Jim Viscardi did not say those words.
I'm biased, but I agree. Go ahead. Continue.
Oscar Isaac looks great. We're getting the personalities. I loved the shot that opened it where he's looking in the mirror and then there's two versions of himself. He walks away and they stay there. It looks, I mean, you never know how dark they're going to go. That first Age of Ultron trailer was very dark and heavy, but then the movie itself was not. So, but that bathroom scene where he's just beating somebody up in a busted down bathroom, that was Daredevil level grit from Netflix. I mean, so I'm hoping that that's true of the show.
Jumping across the sky.
Ooh, put that on the Marvel Perfect Shots Twitter account.
Yeah.
That was really cool. Go ahead.
I was not prepared for the British accent. I did like Oscar Isaac's accents in this show are going to kill Twitter. Like I can already tell that is going to happen. Cause it was like, oh, we're getting British. Okay. All right. Where else are we going here? But yeah, this show just looks so distinct and it looks exactly like what you would expect a Moon Knight show to be, which is so different from what the MCU has brought. Like I know Adam Barnhart at our site had a good tweet of like, we went from one Iron Man movie to everyone like feverishly waiting for a first look at Moon Knight. Like it's crazy that we're at this point. And it looks exactly like I would want a Moon Knight show to look as someone who has only read a little bit of the comics. So I'm very happy in that regard.
So to I know people are asking about the accent, so I want to clarify that a bit. So if you haven't read the books, you have Mark Spector, who is basically the war vet turned bounty hunter kind of character who's got basic standard American-ish accent. And then you've got Jake Lockley, who is basically the kind of like cabbie persona, who like trying to think of the best way to explain. He's the one who like basically is friends and gets all of the, he's friends with just like, you know, the random like street people basically. And so that's like that'll all be interesting. It'll just be interesting to see him just like kind of see how it all goes, because then we know we're getting the Mr. Knight, and so how he does that mixed with everything else is just it's gonna be phenomenal. I can't wait. Oh, and I forgot Stephen Grant. There's also the Stephen Grant character as well. I love it.
Aaron, what'd you think?
Yeah. It looks really impressive. I mean, like, of what we got, like, that probably was the most affecting, I'd imagine. It was so weird because I guess it's just bright in this room. The leveling, I'm like, can we get this a little bit brighter? I'd like to see a little bit more what's going on because we don't want to go back to that. What is the episode of Game of Thrones? I don't even know what the name was.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't want to veer into that. Oscar Isaac has a gorgeous face. Why are we obscuring it? What are we doing? Okay. That's it. That's all I got. That's all I got.
She-Hulk stuff looks great too.
Yeah, I was gonna ask if you want to talk about Moon Knight anymore before I disrespected you by moving on.
No, it's okay. Let's go to She-Hulk.
She-Hulk looked great. Hulk's arm is healed.
It is. Oh, yeah.
I didn't even see that.
Yeah, that's interesting because remember Joe Russo during our show said that's permanent damage. He lied.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's very interesting stuff. Hulk's arm has healed since the snap. But She-Hulk looks great. Jenna, I know you're fired up for She-Hulk. So as Jim had his Moon Knight moment, you have you were allowed to have your She-Hulk moment.
I am so happy. The new logo looks very cool. I loved the original logo, but this feels very like LA law, like law procedural sort of thing. So if we go with either one when the show actually comes out, I'm going to be very happy because they both get the vibe of the show so well. Tatiana is just going to be perfect as Jen. I got to speak to her yesterday, humble brag. We could not talk about She-Hulk except for at the very end. But you can tell how excited she is to be in this role. And the comedic timing that she has and everything, it is just going to be so much fun to see her do that. I love the vibe of the little bit of footage we saw. I love her little like advertisement with Bruce of like, you wouldn't like me when I'm angry. The show is just going to be so much fun, and I think it is going to be so, like Moon Knight, it is going to be so different from what we normally have in the MCU, so I am just so hyped. I cannot wait to get off of this call and, like, rewatch the footage, like, a dozen times, so.
Yeah, I'm going to watch all of this. I've only had a chance to watch it all one time through, and I was trying to grab, like, screenshots for social media and stuff, so I'm excited to watch it all again. I thought the Hawkeye footage in that special was also really cool, and I don't think a lot of people are going to be talking about that yet because it's the closest of all these titles, but that Hawkeye footage was super dope. Like, that chase scene, props for the one shot that was a part of that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we also got
Grizzly Sam Adams. Grizzly Samuel, Samuel Jackson. What the hell?
Yeah, I was like, where are we going here?
Sorry, Grizzly Samuel Jackson.
Wow, did you just reference a Dave Chappelle sketch?
No, Grizzly Samuel L. Jackson is definitely I like what they did with that subtle tweak to the logo and like having it, you know, just, you know, change into Skrull colors. I think that show is a show that we know frighteningly little about that. I think it's a good thing that will be that I think like is going to be a show that takes a bunch of people by surprise.
I think that's going to be, I hope that it really makes you feel claustrophobic like the comic did, where you really can't trust anybody. And it's like everything is closing in. Mm-hmm. That's probably the most exciting thing about Secret Invasion. I know it's not going to have the scale of the comic, which is an interesting kind of innovation for that story, because that is a story in the comics that really involves all of the Avengers and the whole world and everything. So I'm really curious to see how big they can go with it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I feel like the claustrophobia will definitely be there when the head writer worked on Mr. Robot. Like, you're going to get that kind of very like paranoia sort of vibe. So I'm excited for that show. Aaron, what do you think? You haven't talked about She-Hulk or Secret Invasion.
I was really interested in the fact that they seem to be laying it out. So I'm like, but this is for She-Hulk. Like, it gives you like a rough, like, you know, sort of framework. So I'm like, there must be something else hiding in here. There's no way that this is just Ally McBeal, but she's green. Like, what? Like, there's no way. There's no freaking way. So I'm excited. Also, as BD said, I was like, when Mark turned up, I was like, wait, his arm is fine. What's this big container thing? Did he build the big container after getting thrown out of that air, like the big helicarrier at the beginning? He's like, I have to sleep in it to feel normal. Like, what happened? I'm very, very excited to see where that's going, the whole thing. And, you know, like I said, I was so happy to see you get to talk to her yesterday. I knew you probably couldn't get to talk about too much, but she seems really, really jazzed about being a part of the MCU. So
I also do have to say that costume looks awesome. Like the little bit of it that we got. Like there are so many ways you could do it. There's so many ways you could do a She-Hulk costume, and some of them are a little bit more tasteful than others. So seeing that we're going with like shorts and it is going to be very like practical, but still have kind of the coolness that She-Hulk has. Like I'm so excited to see it when it's fully realized, but just that little bit of CGI, I was like blown away about.
Yeah, that costume.
I was very surprised they stuffed that in the teaser. Like I was like, oh, we're getting it like off the rip. Okay, all right, solid. Yeah.
Well, I think also too. So there's a lot of questions going up. There's a lot of questions are talking about timeline. Where does this fit? There's a very it didn't even make occur to me, but like there's a very good chance that those scenes take place pre snap.
Yeah,
and like it's Smart Hulk during his. You know, like when we first meet him, you know, for the first time in Infinity War, where, you know, he's just kind of hanging out doing his thing. And so that makes sense. So that from going from there to hopefully to current day stuff will be a interesting jump for that show. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to make sure chat knew we saw it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And on Secret Invasion, like that's something that I really enjoyed when I was younger. So I'm just excited. And I also... Brandon, I agree. I was like, well, you don't have all these random characters in this that were in the comic run, so I don't know how they're going to approach it. But I guess just the general feeling of like tension of not knowing who to trust is very, very, very cool. Also, when his eye got damaged, was it always blue?
I don't know.
Does anybody know?
I think we've seen it once. I don't think it was like blue. I think it was just kind of like a not normal looking eye. I don't exactly remember off the top of my head. But I don't know I think that right. may have been implying that this version might not be our version.
That's exactly where I was going. I was like, enhance.
We've already seen Nick Fury scroll once.
You conspiracy nuts.
And I mean, that eye is probably the worst part of the MCU. The fact that he lost it to the cat, that's like the worst payoff. I know that's going to start a controversy, but I stand by it. Nick Fury's hyping up that he lost his eye to trusting somebody. Yeah, Nick Fury lies. I still don't like that moment. It's a flirkin. I know it's a flirkin. All right. But it doesn't mean I like it.
One thing we didn't mention either was the Ironheart logo.
Yeah.
Which was pretty interesting. I expected way more red and yellow on it. I know that like that's just it because I'm expecting the comic book logo and I wanted, you know, expecting it to be something like that. But it's way more like Mark One Iron Man suit looking than it is, you know, Mark 50. And so I think like that's an interesting kind of tease, right? Like we know she's in Black Panther 2, and I wonder if like we are gonna get like it is gonna take maybe a little bit for her to like build, like she's gonna get a proto suit and then go to, you know, her super fancy stuff. It's
would start in a proto suit if she's in Black Panther Wakanda Forever. Like she's got allies who are seemingly gonna be hooking her up, right?
Well, but that's it. Maybe she built the suit out of Iron Man scraps, and then when she meets the Wakanda people, you know, she's then gets all the stuff and that, and like we see that connective thread then to get her new fancy suit.
Maybe. I like the logo. We haven't talked about Ms. Marvel footage at all.
No. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're hiding that power. That superpower. Here's the thing. Are. I understand the decision if the rumor online is true that they decided to change the look of the power to make it more of like a Green Lantern looking thing so that it's different from Mr. Fantastic, who is inevitably on the way. But that doesn't mean like people are really going to like how it looks, especially comic book fans. I think other people might never have any awareness of that when they watch the show. But if that does turn out to be true, I don't know. I'm going to reserve judgment. I don't know if it's going to be great because I think the embiggening stuff is just cool as it is, and it's part of who the character is. But I don't know. Jenna, what do you think?
I will say, like, G. Willow Wilson, who, like, co-created Kamala, has said in the past, she was like, I don't know how this is going to work in live action. Like, she kind of was like, I don't envy whoever adapts Kamala into live action because these powers are going to look so weird. And, like, we've even seen a little bit with the Avengers video game. Like, if you fit her with a costume that doesn't have gloves, like, when she has a gigantic fist, it looks really odd. By no fault of, like, the character design, but it's really just the logistics of, like, rendering this in something that isn't 2D. So it's like, I agree. I'm also reserving judgment. I do feel like the change in how her powers look could either be really great or it could be kind of weird and lose a little bit of who Kamala is. But based on that footage, we are still getting Kamala as she is in the comics, which, like, in terms of characterization and in terms of the way that her world looks, that footage really, really showcased that. So as long as that is there, I don't mind if it's purple instead of another color. So.
Aaron, yeah, I think that footage.
I'll go for it, Aaron.
Oh. That's probably my most anticipated of these. So I was very confused. I've had many, many very, very interesting conversations with Adam Barnhart about the sort of ethics of changing her powers to something else. But I'm willing to entertain it. I don't think it's this grand thing. Cause like people always say that kind of stuff where it's like, well, it should just be true to the comic no matter what, who cares. But if you're going to have eventually a scenario where she and Mr. Fantastic will be on the same battlefield together fighting something, you need visual clarity. It's something people always complain about with superhero movies, about visual clarity and being able to understand the fights and who's fighting and where they're doing and where they're moving on screen. And if you have two people with very, very similar powers and they're not, like, you know, related to each other directly, you know, it can get a little confusing. So I understand it. And let's be real here. The VFX budget probably does a little bit better by doing it with power constructs instead of embiggening two. So I'm willing to be entertained. And I love that, as Jenna said, the other parts of this is still Kamala. So yeah, it's fine. We shouldn't probably be as tweaked as we are because she still seems like she's going to be really delightful. The papier-mâché Captain Marvel helmet is one of the cutest, silly things. I'm like, well, of course, if you're a teenager, yeah. It's like, boom, it looks right. We're good to go. I'm going to jump off this building and go bound and do heroic things. So I think it's going to be
interesting. Aaron, you nailed it right on the head. The thing I'm less concerned about is what her actual powers like set is or looks like or whatever. And my bigger concern is that they don't change or make tweaks to who Kamala is. That's that is what has made that character be a breakout hit and such a success for audiences everywhere, and like that's what we want. So I agree with you. Like, I think we're getting bent out of shape for over a lot of that stuff, and you know, once we see more of it, I think we'll be fine.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's wrap up this bonus episode. Overall, my favorite thing of the day was Moon Knight. I think it looked really, really cool, and I figured we could just go around the room and share our final thoughts on the day. Delivered. I don't know what I certainly was hoping to hear, like, Sam Alexander was getting a series on Disney Plus, but that Spider-Man freshman year being MCU canon makes that a lot more exciting than I thought it was when we started this show. And Moon Knight looked brilliant. She-Hulk and Ms. Marvel, I think they both look fun. I'm very interested to see which of those shows comes first in the 2022 lineup, because after Hawkeye, during Hawkeye, we have Spider-Man, No Way Home. After Hawkeye, it's Book of Boba Fett. And then seemingly January, February might be
a little dry.
Yeah.
Dry for, you know, but we'll see. We'll see. Jim?
I apologize for everyone who follows me on Twitter, because if you thought I was insufferable about Moon Knight before, oh, baby, it's just about to get a whole lot worse. I'm happy. I've seen what I've seen there. I'm very excited to see how they portray Khonshu and all that. Like, I'm very excited to see that. I'm hyped to see a full look at the suit. So that's probably my number one, and my number two is easily X-Men 97. And I'm sure that's nostalgia tinted lenses there for me right there. She-Hulk looks great. And so I think the upcoming stuff, this batch, I think, has me more excited than some of the initial. Don't get me wrong, I loved WandaVision, Falcon Winter Soldier, and Loki, but this is the stuff I've been waiting to get into.
And I'm going to be broke because of all the Moonlight Pops. So
I was about to say, like, Jim, are you ready for, like,
you know, they're going to release one of each. You know, they're going to release one of each personality in regular form. You're going to get Moon Knight in costume. You're going to get Moon Knight in costume and poses. You're going to get Mr. Knight in costume and poses.
Whoever Ethan with a mask Hawk on.
Mr. Knight,
and you're going to say thank you to all of it. All right, we got to wrap up. Aaron.
But like, that's all of the stuff we're going
to
get.
All right, we are on to Aaron. Aaron, what are your final thoughts for the day?
I'm just happy for everybody. You know, there's a lot of people who are really, really looking forward to all this stuff. Namely, our good friend Jim Viscardi, who is very, very, very happy about all of this
stuff. I'm getting him a Moon Knight hot toys for Christmas next year.
We're one step closer to them doing an orchestral version of the 90s X-Men theme song in a movie. That's always out the clock. That's been running on my desktop is doing that. So good stuff, everybody. We're all content. We're well fed.
Yeah, fam, we are chonking. This lineup is chonky. You know, we love chonky episodes. Jenna?
I agree with everything that has just been said. I do find it weird we didn't get any sort of release dates, like, post Book of Boba Fett. I expected to at least get, like, one so we could know whatever the next, like, Star Wars or Marvel show would be after that.
Not even for Ms. Marvel. We just got summer 2022.
I have a sheet on my desk over here where I literally color-coded and tried to figure out, like, okay, there's X many weeks in the year. How many shows can we get in 22? And, like, what would that look like? And then we kind of got nothing. Like, I don't know. I'm glad that they didn't announce anything that they would then have to delay, but it does suck of, like, we don't know what's after Book of Boba Fett yet, which is kind of weird. But I, despite the way that all of this stuff was presented today and how chaotic it was, I am so happy with what we got. I can't wait to sit and actually process it all. Just having She-Hulk footage out into the world is just making me so happy. And I agree with Jim. I'm going to go broke when the merchandise starts dropping. So I'm content.
I think coming soon is actually a smart thing because I think Marvel is seeing that they're announcing a lot. Stuff. They're producing a lot. And sometimes you might be spreading yourself a little too thin. I don't know that. That's just my outside theory. But a lot of these movies getting delayed, stuff like that. I don't know if it's still, like, it's not still movie theaters. I think it's just there's so much going on that you need to be in. That with Disney Plus, they have the luxury of announcing the release date, the day it releases. So that's our bonus episode number 5. If you guys want to talk more, hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Brandon Davis BD. Jenna is at Hey It's Jenna Lynn. Jim is at Jim Viscardi. Aaron is at Summit Lake Hornet. This is bonus episode number 5. We also, our previous episode on the podcast has Eternals producer Nate Moore. Please don't let this showing up as the most recent episode mean that you don't listen to the previous one, because it is a fantastic interview. I'm really proud of it, and I've loved the feedback we've already gotten on it. We've shared Hawkeye thoughts on Twitter, by the way. It's pretty good. Jim and I have watched it, and we enjoyed it, and we'll have a lot more Hawkeye stuff coming up soon, because I'm going out to LA on Monday for the junket and the interviews and the press conference and stuff, so it'll be cool. And we hope you will enjoy us and join us, because we also have Marvel Studios concept artist Andy Park, a legend, on the podcast live next week. For an interview, we're going to talk about WandaVision and a lot of his other work and maybe some of what's coming. We'll see what he'll give us. Stay tuned. And if you're listening to this in podcast form, there is Comic Book Nation, our sister podcast, which will be available with the bonus up, or that's their normal episode every Friday. So they're going to talk all about the Disney Plus stuff that we didn't talk about on Phase Zero, Book of Boba Fett. I'm sure they're going to geek out about Ice Age and the very exciting Cheaper by the Dozen announcement.
Obi-Wan!
Obi, what happened today? So we're going to move on to Comic Book Nation. The stream is not starting. If you're listening in podcast form, go give them a listen. Kofi, Janelle, Matt, and Connor will be having some fun over there and digesting or sharing or I don't know, whatever it is. I'm out of words. I didn't come prepared today. I hope you have fun and thank you for bearing with us. This is bonus episode number 5. Goodbye.